Good morning. Welcome to the game room.
So we are going to have a little talk today about building a joystick. And by building a joystick, I mean a fight stick, a box that holds the buttons and joystick and control board you need to... You're basically building a controller. You're building a controller for your consoles or for your PC. And I know a lot of people dabble in it. They maybe have a lot of questions. And you're, you know, welcome to message me. I have a Gmail account. You can send me mail if you have any questions. It's MichaelWLorenz@gmail. Lorenz is L-O-R-I-N-C-Z. If you don't see it in the post, I'll probably spell it out in the post for people so it's on there. But first thing we're going to talk about is the buttons. Now, a lot of people, they don't know what buttons are good. They don't know what buttons are the best. And the interesting thing about the buttons is it's really personal. It's all based on your personal style and what you want to have for looks and also what you want for feel. There's a lot of tactile sensitivity involved with buttons. I personally really like Sanwa buttons. Sanwa is spelled S-A-N-W-A. They make a lot of different electrical components and they make some of the best arcade buttons and sticks around. They're relatively cheap. Another example is Saimetsu, and Saimetsu makes good stuff as well. Just a little bit just different. The switches are similar, different weight though. I mean, there's a little bit to them that's different, but both companies make really good buttons. You see people on both sides, excuse me, of the coin on that, of which one they like more. There's also Hap Controls. Hap Controls is now called, I think, Hap Denzo or something like that. They were bought by a Japanese company, I believe, and they make, they're more of an American style. And American-style buttons are a much firmer push. They take a lot more weight to activate. Usually, they're built for more industrial grade or like heavy public arcade use. So they're really, really rugged, but they're also not really the most sensitive and the most reliable buttons when it comes to your overall number of presses and different things like that. The micro switches usually are using just a standard cherry switch. Momentary contact switch for the Hap controls, whereas the other units, the Sanwa and the Saimetsu, they also use momentary contact, but they use a different integrated switch that is a lot more reliable, and it takes a lot less pressure to activate. So it's something to keep in mind, and really the best thing to do is to try them out. You know, order one of each button of the color you like, mount them on a board. And try them. There's also IL, which is Industrial Lorenzo, which is funny because my name's Lorenz. But it's spelled completely differently. It's like L-O-R-E-N-Z-O, Lorenzo. They are like a European kind of offshoot. They make a lot of good stuff too. Their stuff is pretty good with price. They're pretty comparable. They're actually a little bit cheaper than some of the Sanwa and Saimetsu components. Not the most reliable, not the most rugged. But they are definitely a, like, I guess you'd say quasi-American style. They're pretty, I don't know, kind of tough, I guess you'd say. They take a lot more to activate. And like I said, there's different things that people like in their sticks. Some people want a really tough stick that they can hit the buttons on and get mad and you know, and that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, your sensitivity that we talked about earlier. And that also comes down, you know, to how many buttons do you want? A lot of players really want the standard button size, but there's also a 24 millimeter size that you usually see. It's usually what you see for the Mad Cats and Hori start and select buttons and back buttons are usually a 24 millimeter. I have seen people use 24 millimeters because they're cheaper for their standard buttons, but you have to have really good input technique to not hit the wrong buttons when you're playing. You know, and like I said, the best thing to do is just go on eBay or Amazon and get yourself a grab bag of different ones. If you really don't care and you're looking for the cheapest possible opportunity to get into some of these buttons to try out, you can just get some from different vendors off eBay or Amazon. Now, there's other sites that I really, really suggest. Etoki, it's E-T-O-K-I. I think it's two Ks. E-O-T, it's E-T-O-K-K-I, Etoki. They are a Korean site, and they deal a lot with the Fanta and Crown sticks and buttons. And that's another brand that you can get into. And they're very similar to the Sanwa and Saimetsu brands when it comes to performance and reliability. They're both really, really great. And Crown's no exception. I prefer a Sanwa or Crown stick over anything else. I really like Crown. They have a new line of joysticks that try to harken back to the old days of what they used to have. And it's a very nice stick. And we can get into the sticks and stuff here in a second. What should we go to next? I have a little list here. Let's see. We got buttons. That's pretty much covered. There's lots of sites to get them from. I personally like Itoki. Paradise Arcade is a really nice one. They were originally based out of Hawaii. I think they've moved to Massachusetts. Or they're stationed out of Massachusetts now. I think they moved. And it was a family-run business that really does a great job with custom orders and different fabrications for, like, panels and different things. Another good way to get into some parts, especially used parts from other players, is Shuriken forums. The SRK forums are really great for if you're just trying to start out and want to build yourself a custom stick for the first time and you need help or suggestions, you can always check that out. They really have a nice builders forum or page for building that I would highly suggest for anybody that's new to the scene of building. There's also the Tekken Zaibatsu forums. They have a little area that's for building, but for the most part, most people refer them over to SRK forums. And SRK is really, they have a real robust area. A lot of people with Dremel tool experience and soldering experience and different experiences that you might not necessarily need for your first build at all, but it's always good to have that helping hand there available to you. And there's also links for all sorts of videos and other helpful tips. So definitely a shout out to those guys. They are a great source for information for that. And going into different types of buttons, I know we talked about the different manufacturers and what they provide, but really it's important also to think about the layout of your stick and what you want. I personally have worked with different buttons from different companies over the years just to try and see what I like. When I was growing up, I really liked the American style buttons because they were really strong push to activate. And as I got better at the games and got a little older, I realized that sometimes you don't want to, you know, put 10 pounds of force on your play panel or play area every time you want to hit a button. You don't need to mash out and get, hand fatigue or whatever with these strongest buttons. And also, they click really loud. The American style usually clicks off really loud. And it's a little unnerving. It's a little irritating. And to be completely honest, the reason I got into the Sanwa buttons to begin with is I was practicing these fighting games when my wife and I were, boyfriend and girlfriend, we weren't even married yet. And it was so loud that when she was sleeping, she could hear me hitting all the buttons in the other room. So it's, it's an issue. So it's one little thing to think about. If you want to build a stick and not piss your wife or significant other off, it's very important to look into some of the silence buttons. And there's ways to get silencers for buttons, too. And we can get into that in a minute, too. There's lots of accessories for the buttons. Something else to think about when it comes to design layout is the size of the buttons and also the how much you want your style to be. And I just touched on it just a second ago a little bit, but there are buttons that are transparent, and you can actually put artwork inside of them. The Saimetsu make a really nice transparent button or translucent button that you can put artwork from your panel into it. There's also sites, and again, the SRK forum is a great source to get panel art, or even ask some of the digital artists out there to help you with art, either on your own, or they can build some for you for cheap. I think there's a couple guys on there that charge like $8 or $9 for custom templates for Adobe Photoshop and stuff. And there's also lots of free ones too that you can download. And that's just the template art for the top of the stick. Because 9 times out of 10, if you play fighting games and you want to have that certain something that people kind of draws their eyes to your stick and really kind of shows off what your favorite character is or what your game is that you like, usually you want custom artwork. And a lot of players really don't care. There's some great players out there that really don't care about their actual, custom fabricated joystick. They just want their own artwork out. And that's fine, and that's something else that I've done over the years for people and other people on SRK forums and Zaibatsu and other places can do too. So you know, it's just another thing. And right now I want to point out too, there are a lot of sites that are out there that I'm probably not going to mention just because they're not floating around in my head right now. But I visit lots of different sites to get the components you need and the information and the resources you need. So don't just take exactly what I have here at face value. You know, I can add notes and stuff to the introduction and to the actual site, and make sure people can see that there's other sites out there that you can get. So if anyone has any suggestions or thoughts on that, you can definitely throw them on my message, or go on the stream and throw off some sites that you know of, because there's probably a lot of cool offshoot sites that I'm not tracking yet. So and that's just a little thing on buttons. There's also Cherry makes some really nice MX buttons, and those ones are pretty, they're a little more expensive. They're about $5 a button, and those ones are cool because they have different color-coded switch types that you can select, and that gives you a really cool custom feel, especially if you want certain buttons to be stronger than others, or if you want a different click and release off of them. It's a very nice selection of buttons, and they have some cool designs for their buttons too. They almost have like a decagon shape, like 8 or 10 sides, hexagon or octagon shape button ring. It looks kind of cool on some of the custom joysticks I've seen. There was one I did with Samurais that had originally had some of those buttons in it, and they were really, really nice. They're a little longer, so it's something to think about when you're installing them, but for the most part, they're just a really excellent button. Now, I know I'm just talking a whole bunch about buttons. Let's get into the board, because that's what a lot of people don't have a lot of information on. A lot of players still think that they need to tear apart a controller and solder wires to it and then solder to the buttons. And, you know, that's how people used to do it. That's how you can still do it if you want to do it that way, but it's really messy and it's time consuming, and you have a lot of opportunities there to burn the board if you don't know what you're doing with solder. And me personally, especially for newer players, I would highly suggest a quick connect system. Normally, joysticks use a 110 or a 187 connector. It's a 0.110 or a 0.187 size millimeter connector. And those connectors make it very easy for you to connect everything to a board that's already pre-established for the arcade sticks. And if you're looking for a cheap board just to get going on a PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, or a PC, there's a ZD board, is what they call it. It stands for zero delay. And these boards, you know, they're about $15 to $20 a piece on eBay online. They come from China or Hong Kong. They work extremely well for what you're paying for. There's a little bit, there's maybe a frame or two of lag, even though they say it's zero delay. But really, for what you're doing starting out, they're really not bad, because you're going to inherently have at least one frame of lag on a TV or a monitor anyways. You can eliminate it as much as you possibly can, but that's going to be where, especially if you're new to a game or you're just starting out with a joystick and you don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, this is a great way to get into it, and most players aren't even going to notice that there's a frame of lag. It's tiny. And some of the newer ZDs actually are confirmed to not have any lag. So I have an older one. It's orange and black, and it works great. And like I said, you can get them on eBay. It's about $18 to $20 realistically. And that comes with a lot of your quick connects and your wires already established on it. So all you really need to do is follow the directions on the little card that comes with it and connect all the wires, the buttons, and everything to it, and you're good to go. That is one of the easier and cheaper boards to get into for the money. There's also a PS360 Plus. I really like the PS360 Plus because for a time, a few years back, it was the only one that worked with the PS4. And now, because there's other competitors out there, there's some much better boards. Not better, I can't say better, but there's a much bigger market for boards. I'm going to pause this here for just a second. We'll get right back to you. Okay, and we're back. So we were talking about boards, and the newer board I've been looking at, and I've seen some really great results with it, is the Brooks board. I think it's called the Fighting Board, and it's a really nice board. It's relatively cheap. I think it's like $50 or $60 for it, and it works pretty well. And what's really great about it is it's almost like a universal board. It runs most of the systems. And it's upgradable with firmware to make it so there's not a 9-second timeout for the PS4. And I'm not even really going to get into that because it's not even an issue anymore for most of the fighting games. Earlier, when the fighting sticks were just coming out for the PS4, there was driver issues and Bluetooth issues that caused the controllers to time out. And you just have to reconnect them with the guide button. You just have to hit the guide button again. But it would disqualify people in tournaments. So you had to basically disconnect and reconnect your controller after every match, you know, to make it legit. But it's stupid. We're not doing that shit anymore. We are definitely moving forward, and we've got boards that work great. Another board that works really well and is like the jack of all trades boards is the Cthulhu board. They make really great decals too that people love sticking on their joysticks. And this guy originally created them. I forget his name, but he built these boards on his own and then just basically branded them and started selling them. And they're a great board, and they work almost like a mini PCI system. So you can actually add different things to the board to do more things. You can add sound to it. You can add like a headphone jack to it. You can add wireless support. I mean, it's just really amazing all the different things I've seen people do with the Cthulhu board. MC Cthulhu is really great. It's a little more pricey. I think it's like $120, maybe a little less now. But, it's a little pricey. But at the same time, you're getting a lot more customizability. You're getting a lot more options by doing that. But for starting out, like I said, my suggestion for someone that's starting out brand new on PS3 or PS4 would be a zero delay board to start. And then once that's like your practice board. You plug it in, make sure everything works, see if you like it. And that way, if you don't like playing joystick, you're not out a whole lot of money. You can basically build a stick. If you have the raw materials already and a few simple tools, you can do most of this for under the price of a new game. So about $60, $70, you can buy everything you need to get started. And that's just me. You're not going to be able to have all sorts of bells and whistles on the stick, but it is a great stick to start out. It's a great way to start. Because a lot of people are afraid to put a lot of money in to these sticks, especially if they don't know if they're going to use them. And I understand that argument, and I see that, but I've also seen custom PS4 control pads that are $120 or more. So it's really kind of a moot argument. There's no point to the argument because whatever, if you want to try it, or play on a friend's stick, go to a community event and just try other people's sticks, see what you like. But yeah, board, big issue. A lot of people get a little nervous and scratch their heads about the board, but it's really not that big of a deal. It's definitely something anybody can do. You can definitely wire it up and try it. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to email me or message me on the stream at the game room. It's under Twitch, .tv/thelefty with an underscore between the and lefty. We're on usually once every weekend or every other weekend, depending on what's going on. And that's just that with the boards. Now, going on to the connectors, I talked a little bit about the connectors. You can direct solder a lot of stuff to these boards. I wouldn't really suggest it for someone that's just starting out. This is more of an introduction to stick building. This isn't, going all out and making brand new custom fabricated systems. So I would definitely stay with the standardized connectors. It is important though that when you're buying your stick and your buttons that you are sure what connector type they are. Usually the 24 millimeter buttons are the smaller connector, which is 110, and usually the stick itself is usually the 187. 30 millimeter buttons, which are your standard Mad Cats or other type of button out there that you see at the arcades, those are usually also a 187 connector. They can be 110. It really depends on the switch that they put in them. Good switches to look for on the buttons, going back to buttons real quick, is Omrons are great. Cherry makes a great switch. There's good, I can't say it right now, Gersung switches or Gersung switches. I can't ever say it. I know they're good though. They use them in a lot of the Fanta and Crown sticks. They're a real nice stick. They have a quick snap. They're not really taking a lot of force to generate the activation. So they're great switches. If you can find them, stick with them. They're good. You know, and again, this all goes down to personal preference. If you have a personal preference for a certain switch or a certain type of button, feel free. I am not going to sit here and defend my choices as being the gospel. There's no golden rule when it comes to stick building. If you like it, play with it, you know. Wiring, don't use phone or speaker wire. I don't know why people think they can do that. Don't do that. It's just dumb, and it looks like shit. It's just stupid, and there's too much, I don't know. It just looks like shit, and it doesn't work. Just buy the right kind of wire, and what's really nice is you can color code your wire. You can go to different sites, you know, Itoki sells wire. God, there's other sites on top of my head. I can't think of the names. Paradise Arcade sells wire, and you can get it in pre-cut, pre-crimped connector female type or male type. It's up to you. Connectors already assembled for cheap. And you can also get prefabricated joystick connections cheap. 5-pin harness and everything. If you play on a Mad Cat stick is a good example of a 5-pin. It's easy. You don't need to reinvent the wheel and make it more complicated. Just go with it and kill it, you know? Just plug it all in and try it. Lights. I know a lot of people like having lights. Having a LED control board is a little more time consuming to wire up. It's definitely doable. You can do it on a budget. But you have to take into account that you need, you know, a ball top on your joystick that's going to do the lights. You got to have the shaft on your joystick set up for lights. You got to have the buttons that are translucent or transparent enough for lights. I mean, there's a lot of different things to think about when you're doing that. That's all I'm going to say about lights, because I honestly don't use a lot of lights in my setups because I think they're distracting, and a lot of people in tournaments don't like seeing people with a bunch of lights and shit blinking all over the place. It's a distraction, you know. And then we're going to move on here to the actual stick, which is like the brains, the one of the most important parts of it here. All right, so there's a bunch of different joysticks out there you can get into. Most of the companies I listed earlier make at least one type of stick, or different models of the same general type of stick, most of which have different gates. And a gate is basically how these stick switches are activated or actuated to be four-way, eight-way, two-way. There's some out there that can be the old style. Sorry for that interruption. That will allow you to play specific games. A lot of the old style games run a four-way system. Most of the Street Fighter and other games, you really want an eight-way stick. I have heard of some players using a four-way gate purposely on the bottom of some sticks for Street Fighter to make some inputs easier. I don't know if that's even a thing anymore. I think it was more in the arcade versions of the old Street Fighter 2 Turbo that they simplified the inputs. So I wouldn't really go with that right now, but you know, IL makes a budget stick that's a bat top, so it's similar to the shape of a baseball bat. I personally like the ball top, and that's what you see in most Korean and Japanese arcades. I also see a lot of the custom fabricated sticks will have kind of a quasi top where it's a bat top mixed with a ball top, which a little short. It's like a stubby. There's different things you could do with those sticks, but all in all, really what matters is what's comfortable for you, and I keep going back to that. It's all personal preference. There are some sticks that are better than others. My personal favorite is probably Crown or Fanta. Both of those brands are more or less kind of merged. There's the Myungshin Fanta with the Gersung switches. Those are the ones I was talking about earlier. I actually said it right this time. Those are my favorite. I also really like Sanwa sticks, especially if you put a little bit stronger switches and a stronger spring in it. And that's something we can get into later if you have any questions. Feel free to message me or jump on the stream. We're always talking about stuff on the stream. That's just a bit, you know, just a little bit about it. But we're gonna cover more here in a second. I got to turn in some keys. So we'll be right back. All right, we're back. So we were just talking about switches. Something I need to kind of expand upon real quick, if you've never taken one of these sticks apart, they're pretty easy to come apart. Some sticks use springs, others use like a finger switch, basically. It's a micro switch with a, they call it a leaf switch. It basically has a long metal arm on it that'll allow you to actuate the switches that way. And those are spring-loaded as well. So there's basically two types of activation on some of these switches. There's spring activation and there's rubber activation. That's my own term. I'm not telling you some textbook term. I'm sure it's called something different. But there's rubber resistance and there's spring resistance. The reason I like the Crowns or the Mingxin Fantas is because they use that rubber resistance system, and it's essentially a rubber washer, a large rubber washer, and it's probably about 4 or 5 millimeters thick, and it gives you a very, very crisp and fast return to center. It lasts for quite a long time. It's kind of a pain to reorder the grommet inside or the rubber washer inside. It's about $3 to $5 for a replacement one. Not expensive to replace because that covers the expense of all your switches if you need to switch the switches out, which is nice because most of the time when your switches go bad or your stick's loose, you just need new switches, a Fanwha or Saimetsu stick. But pretty much those are the only two types you're going to see. Now, you might see different connectors on those switches or a PCB board, which is a control board or a PC board. And what those do is it basically allows you to do the circuitry on the stick itself. Now, Sanwa uses that. Saimetsu uses it. But for the most part, they're not a terrible issue. You can get those replaced between $9 and $12. And it makes the stick a little taller. But that's not anything that you really have to worry about if you're building your own custom fabrication. Now, if you're trying to update a stick that's a store-bought, like a Mad Catz or a Hori Fighter's Edge or some of the other ones, the H-Rap, Real Arcade Pros, you really just need to invest in like a Dremel tool, something that you can cut and carve things out carefully with that does really clean work. And you can get a nice Dremel knockoff on eBay for about $25 to $30, and that'll give you all the tooling you need to cut out anything inside a store-bought stick. But, it's not absolutely necessary. You don't really need all the bells and whistles to start out, and I'm kind of just reiterating. I'm just saying again, it's all up to personal preference. A lot of times people can get really happy with just some plexiglass and some stickers on the tops of their sticks. Other people want to go all out and have lights and everything else, and that's up to you. But if you're a first-time builder and you just want to get into it and say that you have your own custom stick, my suggestions are pretty cheap and pretty easy to get you started. If anyone's interested, I'll probably do some videos of a tear apart of a store-bought stick and then the build of an actual built stick by hand. And you can see the differences in what you have and what you can work with. And with in my opinion, a store-bought stick gives you a very easy, nice professional appearance because you're just changing the art and maybe the buttons and switches inside or the stick itself. And that's usually pretty easy. It's a little limiting when it comes to space and also, form factor. Do you want it to be universal? Do you have to add a board to it to make it work on all your systems? What do you need? There's also the Omni board. That's something I didn't bring up before. The Omni board is really nice because that runs on PS3, PS4, and that's nice. And it's relatively cheap. I think that one's $50, and that's on Itoki as well. The other site I was talking about, I kept forgetting the name, is Focus Attack. I don't know why it slipped my mind, but Focus Attack is a great source for all your parts. The shipping's not unreasonable. The staff's pretty helpful, and they always seem to throw in a little extra every time I order from them, which is cool. Either stickers, decals, or maybe some extra washers or switches, or whatever. They give me a little something extra, which I always appreciate. I think that's really cool that they do that. And they're a good company. Another company that I think closed a couple years back but might still be in operation now, they might have opened back up, is Lizard Lick. Lizard Lick, which sounds crazy, but if you search Lizard Lick, they might not be around anymore. Take that with a grain of salt. I they might be closed now, but they used to be one of the really cool homegrown building sites where they pretty much ordered the parts and then would be the middlemen. The prices weren't bad though. They were pretty much selling them at cost, which is pretty cool. I think that's one of the reasons they closed a couple years back, but great site. There's a few other sites out there. I don't have the information right in front of me, but there was a site that's still around, and it actually goes through the entire arcade process of building a cabinet
or just the control panel from start to finish and all the different layouts and different designs. And what's great is all of it's in PDF format, and you can download it all and use it as physical templates. So you can print it out on a normal piece of computer paper, 8.5 by 11, and be able to lay it on a piece of wood or a piece of metal and actually to scale cut out everything. And it's in like 1080p, like 720 DPI, like really, really good quality printouts. And it's almost like a schematic, like a blueprint. And it worked really well for me for my first few builds for friends, because they could just pick out a button layout that they liked. And that's another thing I want to cover real quick when it comes to buttons is your layout. And the layout is basically the shape that the buttons are aligned and the space in between each button. And since everybody's hands a little different and everybody's play style is a little different with how they place their hands, it's really important to lay out your buttons on a piece of cardboard. And what I would suggest you do is take a cardboard box, cut the holes out really rough on a piece of cardboard, and plug your buttons in and try it. Like, drum your fingers on the buttons, maybe even plug it into the board, and have yourself a cardboard shoebox arcade panel just to test and see if you're comfortable with how that works. Yeah, it's gonna be flimsy, yeah, it's gonna fall apart, but it's not about longevity. It's about testing the size and the scope of what you wanna do. If you find out you wanna play a fighting game that uses more than 6 buttons or more than 4 buttons, like I did with Tekken, then you might wanna add your buttons, and adding them in a different pattern or a different size or shape might improve your game, I don't know. And that's just something you need to look at. But I think that's going to be about it. I don't really want to keep droning on and on and on about stuff that a lot of it you can really, since I've given you some sources and some ideas, that gives people a springboard to jump from. But if you're interested, you can always message me and let me know how things are going, or send me pictures. And we're here at the Game Room in Tacoma, Washington, and we're definitely we're ready for anybody to jump on and hang out and talk games. So thanks for listening, and we'll have another episode up here soon, guys. Thanks a lot.